This morning's message is called Arm Yourself, and it's from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14, and then chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Reading from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. So be happy when you are insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. Chapter 5, verse 6. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Verse 8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same suffering you are. Verse 10, in his kindness, God has called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, last week I spoke on 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 22. And the message was called Keeping Your Faith in a Hostile World. And the way to do that, if you remember, was by doing good, continue doing good, and when you're confronted, to give the reason why you help, why you do good, and explain your faith with gentleness and respectfulness. You see, this is imitating Jesus, who did not respond with disregard or superiority, but kept his eyes on the cross, the goal, for him, the goal, which was the ultimate good for all humanity. But before we dig into this passage this morning, we need to look back just a little bit at the beginning of chapter 4, a verse in between the two readings, and see the context of what Peter is discussing and referring to here in the next verses that I read. Well, that passage is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. He says to the church, this is a letter written to the whole church, so then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. Peter writes here that you and I need to arm ourselves. When we think of arming ourselves, well, we think of taking up arms, the right to bear arms, the Second Amendment. We think of protection and self-defense. That's not at all what Peter is thinking about or writing about here, the right to have and bear arms. No, he is talking and writing about arming yourselves with the same attitude that Christ Jesus had, that Jesus had himself. This is a common thought all throughout the scriptures in the New Testament. Writing in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, Paul says the same thing about Christians, believers, that they should have. He says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Even though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to or other versions say to be exploited, to be taken advantage of. Paul and Peter says to the whole church, you and I must have the same attitude, the same mind in relationship with one another and to the world. Peter is saying we need to have the same mind that when we go through trials, difficulties, suffering, that our faith will shine through just like Jesus. And when we suffer for the faith, don't be surprised then, he says, when we get to our verses that I read, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through. I once heard a preacher say, if people aren't upset with you, then you're not doing something right. Well, I don't know about that. We're not trying to intimidate people, get people upset. But what Peter is saying is that as we go about our life doing good, helping others, evangelizing, talking about our faith, don't be upset. Don't be surprised if people in this world get upset with you. Why? Because we live in a culture of polite indifference. People are indifferent. And when you and I claim that Jesus is the answer, he is the Savior, he is Lord, and no one else, you see, that's putting Christ higher than every other priority. And that no longer means people are or will be indifferent. Some may be, but you cannot be indifferent about Jesus Christ. Peter then says, arm yourself with the mind or attitude of Christ in this world in which you're going to see polite indifference and hostility come against you. The first step, of course, of how to arm yourself is to be filled with the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life. But there are steps along the way. And the first one is this. The first step of arming yourself is to rejoice. Yes, rejoice. When you're being intimidated, when you're being persecuted, when you're suffering, it's not a time to lament and weep. It isn't a time to be surprised or anxious and say, woe is me. No, not at all. A person rejoices because, here's the reason, because they realize they are sharing in the same sufferings that Christ shared. Peter says it this way in verse 13. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners, right there, partners with Christ in his suffering. Why? How can we rejoice, and why do we rejoice? Because we are sharing in this partnership together with Jesus Christ. To suffer for your faith means that you are joined in a special way to the resurrected and glorified Christ. It's a badge of honor. It's even better than a Congressional Medal of Honor. It says to the world, Jesus is mine. He is suffering along with me as I suffer for him. Not only is Jesus mine, but I stand with Jesus in this indifferent world. Peter can say to the church, rejoice in suffering, because that is exactly what he did when the church first began. He and John, if you go all the way back to Acts chapter 4, he and John went into the temple, and before going into the temple through the gate called Beautiful, there was a man who was begging. He was lame. And they say to the man sitting there, silver and gold have I not, nothing. I don't have anything. Have I none? But what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. What happens is the man is strengthened in his legs. A miracle happens in him. He's no longer lame. He gets up and he goes into the temple. It says, leaping and jumping and praising God. And what they continue to do, Peter and John, is continue to preach in the temple day by day. Well, what happened is they were arrested And then they were arrested again. The first time they were arrested, they were told, stop preaching and teaching Jesus Christ. But they didn't stop. They were arrested again, and they were brought again before the ruling Jewish council, the Sanhedrin. And this time, the Sanhedrin wanted to kill both of them. But they were convinced not to. What they did do, though, is intimidate them, cause them to suffer. It says in Acts chapter 5, verse 40 through 42, it says this, they called in the apostles and they had them flogged, beaten, whipped. And they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus. They brought Peter and John back in, realize what they're doing here. They said, we're not going to kill you. We're just going to beat you, whip you. And you can go then, but don't speak again in the name of Jesus. And they let him go. Verse 41, the apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. Did they stop preaching and teaching? No. The next verse says it right here. It says, and every day in the temple and from house to house. You see, they met in the large group in the temple, preaching to everyone. Then they met in small groups, house to house. This continued throughout the book of Acts. They continued to teach and preach this one message. Jesus is the Messiah. So when Peter says, when you suffer, when you are beat, persecuted, intimidated, consider yourself blessed, be thankful, rejoice, it's because he did. He's not speaking as someone who says, do as I say and not as I do. No, he did both. He preached and he rejoiced when he was persecuted. He was blessed. He says, consider yourself blessed. God has considered you worthy of enduring a little bit, just a little bit of what Jesus endured. You're blessed. He says it this in verse 14. He says it this way. So be happy when you are insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. That word happy right here, that word happy is the same Greek word that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. The same word that Jesus uses in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. It says, blessed, happy are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So just as Jesus baptized and then was filled with the Holy Spirit and came and preached the Sermon on the Mount and mentioned persecution and being blessed or happy, Peter is doing the same thing. And in fact, in this letter, he follows the Sermon on the Mount. He follows the Beatitude. So keep your faith. Realize you are blessed. And number two then, stand firm. Stay alert. Stay humble. Peter gives them some instructions as they're going through suffering. Number one, rejoice. Two, then, stand firm, stay alert, stay humble. He instructs them to maintain a sense of seriousness. Whether you realize it or not, as I mentioned, Peter is actually telling them to put into practice what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, and the Beatitudes and everything from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He tells them in verse 9, to stand firm against him and be strong in your faith against the devil. Jesus says the same thing to the crowd. In fact, he says to the crowd, be pure in heart, for you will see the kingdom of God. Remaining pure in heart is the very same thing as standing firm. Peter tells them to stay alert and watch out for your great enemy, the devil, who's a roaring lion seeking to devour believers. In Jesus' life, right after he was baptized, he too was confronted by Satan, tempted three times. That's how Jesus started his ministry, by being tempted. So Peter recalls the life of Jesus and is basically saying, Satan tried the same thing with Jesus. Don't you think he's going to try the same thing with us? Then Jesus tells the crowd in verse 7 of chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And verse 9, Jesus says, blessed are those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. Working for peace, striving to be merciful, are action words. That means staying alert. Staying alert. Know what is going on all around you, what is happening to other people. And then this is what Peter says to the whole church. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up. That's the very same thing Jesus says. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That's the lifting you up. And God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. They are both saying the very same thing. Peter says, then give your cares to God, as Mary sang so beautifully this morning, because he cares for you. God cares for you by comforting you, by lifting you up, by restoring you, which is the second beatitude of comfort. Here's my point. Peter is saying that if you suffer, put the words of Jesus into practice. Imitate Jesus and his attitude. In how you relate to others, be like Jesus. In all of this, Peter says, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. This version of the Bible reads like this, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. This is where I have memorized the King James. In the King James, it says this, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If you've ever gone fishing, go back to the prior one, it's messed up a little. If you've ever gone fishing, the one right before this, you never want to cast your line out with bait on it and pull it back with the same bait on it. You want to cast it out in the hopes that you get something you do want. What Peter is saying here is cast out your cares on God, and in return, receive and get God's comfort, God's reassurance. Peter's words in this section tells us to realize the care and the comfort that God has for us. And then point number 3, God has called you. Amen. God has called you. Peter's final word of encouragement, and to be like Christ, to arm ourselves with the mindset and the attitude of Christ, is to realize God called you. God spoke your name and said, follow me. The eternal God of the universe called you. He says it here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little, he will restore you, support and strengthen you, and place you on a firm foundation. Then all power to him forever. Amen. Amen. See, God has not called you to suffer. He's called you to himself. And part of being called to him is suffering for a short time. It won't last. Yet what will last is the firm foundation he will finally place you on. The timeline is like this. God calls you. You accept his calling, his invitation. You perform good works to imitate Jesus. People speak evil of you and persecute you. You endure with patience. You answer them with kindness and respect. you may still suffer for a little while, and then God restores you. Even in the midst of the suffering, He restores you. He supports you, strengthens you, and then places you on a firm foundation. This placing you on a firm foundation is causing you to rise to heaven. The firm foundation is a picture of glory. It's the promise of God's grace. It's the promise of the resurrection. In case you also didn't realize that this Sunday is also Ascension Sunday, when the church recognizes that Jesus was taken into heaven, raised into heaven, and it is by God's power, then you and I will also be raised and placed on that firm foundation. The last word in our passage is this. It amplifies God's omnipotence, God's power, God's might. All power to Him forever. Amen. He's telling the church to remember who has the power. Remember who is really in control of all things. Remind yourselves of these words. And we do that every Sunday when we come together. We say the Lord's Prayer, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever," which is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. That's the way the Lord's Prayer ends. That's how Peter ends this letter. Yeah, there's a few verses, customary verses, greetings after this verse. But these are the ending words, to remind yourself that God's power is still in charge. God is in charge through His power. So every day, each year, each life should end with realizing all power to Him forever. Whatever may happen in this life to you and me, the fact is God's promises revealed in the resurrection, the ascension, the glorification of Jesus Christ are sure. They are real. And God will continue to restore us with grace, establish us firmly when we stumble or fall, give us strength in time of weakness and suffering, and build us up and place us on a firm foundation. So are you trusting in God completely? Are you arming yourself with the attitude and the mind of Jesus Christ this day and every day? You can start that. You can start arming yourself, putting on the mind of Christ by coming to Him, by inviting Him into your heart and into your life through this prayer that we have prayed many times. And say, "Lord, I'm arming myself every day with Your mind, Your attitude, and I'm starting this journey with You right now." Would you pray this prayer with me and invite Him into your heart, into your life? Lord Jesus, I acknowledge to You that I have sinned against You in many ways. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. I want You to come into my life and be my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. Come into my life and be my Lord, and help me become the person You want me to be.